Take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We look briefly tonight at an isolated text. By isolated, I mean it's not a series that we are walking through. But as we've begun this new year together, we're looking at various texts in the evening to encourage us and to exhort us as we walk through very challenging days. Tonight, James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12 will be our text. Hear now the word of the living Christ. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a whirl of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Amen. This is the word of God, and we say, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Almighty God, we pray now that in the preaching of the word, you might encourage our souls, exhort us, convict us, help us to rely on the gospel when we see in the text our own failures. Help us, we pray tonight, to have food for the week ahead, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. James is a book of five chapters which boldly proclaims to us the variety of works that we should see in the lives of believers. In chapter 2 of James, we get that famous phrase, faith without works is dead. In fact, that phrase is so bold, and the section of James chapter 2 is so bold, that some have endeavored to say that James chapter 2 demonstrates that we can be justified, we can be declared righteous before a holy God by our works, that somehow faith in Christ and our works are the ground of our justification. And yet, James is not in contradiction with Paul and Peter and the Lord Christ, when in various forms all of them proclaim that we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone, His righteous life, His perfect tongue, in the stead of sinners. No, but in James chapter 2, what we do see is that when we are saved, it will change how we live. Works will follow, but they are, as we've said, they are the fruit. They are not the root. But James is also a book which gives us verses like James chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. An unbridled tongue, therefore, comes out of a deceived heart. An unbridled tongue comes out of a deceived heart. And so, continuing this discussion of the tongue in chapter 3, James gives us another area where our lives ought to change because we have been changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And at the very beginning of chapter 3, we see this very stark word. that not many among the church of God should become teachers or elders because they will face a stricter judgment. Think of this. Elders and teachers, myself included, we will be judged more strictly in some sense than other brothers and sisters because we have endeavored to take up the word of God and to proclaim it. And in a sense, proclaiming the word of God requires the use of our tongues. In chapter 3, verse 2, we read, "For we all stumble in many things." Another way to translate this is we all sin in many things. If anyone does not stumble or sin in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So at the beginning of the text, moving into a discussion of the tongue, is the warning that those who teach will be held to a stricter judgment, and that because of this, and because of the inability to bridle the tongue, many should refrain from teaching. This is a strong word. But at the outset, let me say, I think one way to summarize this is that maturity of the tongue is difficult, which is why not so many should teach. But you know, James is not the only one to endeavor to discuss the tongue. The discussion of the mouth and the tongue is all over the book of Proverbs. Turn with me there to the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19. Hear what the word of God says there. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So at the outset of a discussion on how we speak and on what we say, even the very teaching of the church of God is brought up. And it's brought up with a word towards judgment. Because what we do with our tongues is more crucial to the Lord and to his kingdom than we often realize. And so tonight I want us to walk through these 12 verses and see three simple things regarding the tongue, what we say, what we type, what we communicate. And the first is this. Verses 3 through 5, I think we see the fire of the tongue. The fire of the tongue. Look there at verse 3. After this discussion of the warning of what damage can be done with the tongue, thus the teaching ministry of the church ought to be held very dearly. And James writes this, "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths so that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Boys and girls, I don't know if you've ever been to an animal farm or to a stable where horses are being ridden. But this huge, massive animal can be turned with one little bar in its mouth. And James is going to give examples here, three examples to be exact, of horses, of ships, and of a forest. And in each case, he's going to say, look how small this thing is, and yet, even though it is very small, it turns the whole thing. There's a fire in the tongue which can burn down the largest forest. One way to summarize the fire of the tongue might be to say this, the tongue is small, but it has such great power. The tongue is small, but it has such great power. In verse 3, it's horses and the little small bit in their mouth. Look at verse 4. "Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." Using this pattern of three to demonstrate a point. We often see that in the Bible. Patterns of three all throughout the pages of the Old and New Testament. We see three simple examples, and they all point to the same thing. Something small has such great power, or, as we'll see in a moment, fire. In verse 5, the third example is given. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." And the tongue is a fire. Those aren't my words, those are James. words. Those are the words of the Holy Spirit. The human tongue is a fire, quote, a world of iniquity. The tongue is used. It's a small part of our body. It's one of the smaller parts of the human body, and yet it is the one that gets us into so much trouble. Think of your own life. Have you ever been deeply hurt or scarred by another person simply by a few words of the tongue? And I don't mean to ask you tonight to take on the position of a victim. What I'm asking you is to consider how in your own life your experience could flesh out exactly what we see here in James chapter 3, that the tongue can do indeed great damage. Turn again to Proverbs chapter 18 this time. Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I want you to be thinking as we walk through this sermon tonight of the ultimate thing that we see in verses 11 and 12, and that is the golden opportunity that we have to be people who use our tongue for life and not death. Notice what James says, that the tongue is a world of iniquity. The psalmist says something similar. You can turn there if you like, but listen to these words from Psalm 5 and verse 9. Psalm 5, verse 9. There we get a description of sinful people. And here we read these words, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue." It's almost as if every writer and every page almost of the scripture is seeking to warn us about our tongues. James, for his part, not only says it's a world of iniquity, but notice what he says at the end of verse 6 in our text. "The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." The tongue defiles the whole body. The scripture says elsewhere that out of the heart the mouth speaks. What is not being communicated here is that our tongue is worse than any other part of our body, that Jesus had to die more for our tongues than he did for our arms or our minds or our hearts. But what is being discussed here in colorful detail is the reality that our tongues reveal so much of our hearts. Again, chapter 1, verse 26, the misuse of the tongue shows a type of deception in the heart. The misuse of the social media platform reveals much deception in our hearts. In fact, James says it more boldly than I would ever think to say it myself. He says, "It defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." The word there, Gehenna, a place in the Old Testament where the fire god Molech was worshipped by child sacrifice. It became a trash dump where trash burned almost continuously in the days of Jesus. And Jesus often used Gehenna as an example of a place of evil and judgment, where judgment didn't end. And the kind of evil there, that kind of evil can often be heard on the tongues of people. Let me say it more boldly. That kind of evil, Gehenna fire, can often be seen and heard in the tongues of believers. Again, Proverbs, this time chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27. "An ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire." I hope you're getting the message that James, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives us, that the tongue reveals so much of our hearts. The tongue can do great damage. In fact, notice what he says in verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. In Proverbs-like form, James is giving us the description of the tongue. He says in verse 8, it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. In verse 7, animals are listed in similar fashion to what we see in Genesis 1:26, standing for all of creation. And isn't it true? We have found ways to tame every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea. But brothers and sisters, we are unable to tame the tongue. Verse 8, we see this contrast of the rule over creation versus the rule over a little member of our bodies, the tongue. The first thing that James brings to us is the fire of the tongue, a fire that burns, Gehenna-like fire that comes out of our hearts and spews all kinds of evil things and hurtful things and damaging things. The tongue is a fire. Secondly, James teaches us about the two words of the tongue. The two words of the tongue. Look there at verse 9. Shifting from all the examples pointing to the evil of the tongue, the damage that it can do, what our speech can do, the fire that it is, look what he says in verse 9. With it, that is the tongue, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Boys and girls, that word similitude means image, likeness. The two words of the tongue. Notice the double-sided nature. At times, we praise the Lord with it. At times, we worship God with it. And then at other times, we curse the very creation that God has made to declare His likeness to the world. Interesting aside here, James helps us to see that even after the fall, human beings carry the likeness of God. There has often been the debate, did we completely lose the image of God at the fall? And the answer would be no. Because here, fallen men are seen as doing what? Cursing men who are in the image of God. But that's not James' main concern, is it? He wants us to see the two words, blessing God and cursing men. Blessing God and cursing men. These are the two words of the tongue. And so to this, what does he say in verse 10? Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Now, before we dive into the bold exhortation that James gives, I want you to notice that two-word phrase, my brethren. James is teaching all about the tongue, and then he calls those that he's teaching brothers and sisters. James is writing to believers. Believers who are reading these verses are those for whom Christ died. They are those for whom Christ spread his arms wide and took the full wrath of God for all the cursing of men that they have made in their lives. And when he says, my brethren, these are men and women in the church then and now, men and women for whom the perfect tongue of Christ has been substituted for their sinful tongues. We ought to take the words of the book of James and all kinds of exhortations and commands in the pages of Scripture as believers and not take them as a constant challenge as to whether we are in the faith, but as a word of exhortation and encouragement because we are in the faith. Brothers and sisters, you cannot tame your tongue. Your tongue, by God's grace, is much better off now that you are walking with Christ, but you still slip into this fire at times. I still slip into this fire at times, but James is dealing with brothers. and sisters. There's great comfort there. Maybe tonight you've walked into this place and you've never trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never seen that you're a sinner and you need His perfect death to stand in your place. God says of you that you're a lawbreaker, you're a sinner, and God is the righteous judge who will punish every sin. Here tonight, if you've never heard, or hear tonight and receive tonight in your souls the glorious news that Christ will receive all sinners, the worst tongue ever to exist, is not so far gone that Christ's blood and righteousness cannot be a perfect Savior. So hear that you too can come to Christ. You can be a brother or a sister in the faith. You can be one that looks to Christ and Christ alone, that repents of sin, including the sins of speaking so evil of others, of cursing. But there's comfort here. But let's look at what he says. He says, "My brethren, my brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so." Then he gives a list of contrasts. James, teaching on true, genuine faith, calls his readers brothers, and yet he brings up an issue that needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed. Look at the next chapter in James chapter 4, verse 11. "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" So we see the fire of the tongue and we see the two words, both the worship of God, the good use of the tongue, the praising of God. And we see the cursing of men that so often occurs. What is it for you? Is it lying? Is that what you use your fire of the tongue for? Is it slander? Is it gossip? Is it divisive speech? Is it a freedom to utter things on social media platforms that you would never dare have the courage to say to another person face to face? Why is the tongue in the cavity of our mouths where it is seen with eyes and a face that images the living God? We have grown very accustomed to separating the tongue from all of those kinds of reminders, and we spew all that we wish. James says, the Word of God says, these things ought not to be so. So think how you often use your tongue and how you can rely on the gospel and yet need repent of the cursings that we see. And that'd be subtle. There might be subtle kinds of cursings. You might see that word cursing and you might think, well, I haven't said a curse word in 20 years. Jesus saved me. And since that day, I quickly gave up all of the harsh kinds of words. But even the insinuations to others off of our lips and off of our tongues about others, even the seemingly innocent words that we say about others can be so crafty at times. With our tongues, we both bless our God and Father, and with it, we do all kinds of things to other human beings. Those are the two words of the tongue. And James simply says, "My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Well, as James closes, I want to invite you to see, thirdly, the opportunity then of the tongue. The opportunity of the tongue. Look what he says in verses 11 and 12. "Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening?" The answer would be no. "Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs?" The answer would be no. "Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." He's saying it's inconsistent, for one thing, to come out of a source that is completely different. You see, sometimes our speech is inconsistent with who we are in Christ. The message for us tonight might need to be to hear the words of the Scripture when it says, these things ought not to be so, and yet we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so as we go about our days, we have the constant opportunity to do what with our tongue? We have a golden opportunity to bless God and to bless men. If the writer of Proverbs is writing true things, and he is, then the tongue is a place of both life and death. Not that we speak things into existence, as some people argue, but that we have the ability to say things that are good and wholesome and right and true, and we have the same opportunity to spew, to use James's words, Gehenna fire. We have the ability with our tongues to burn down the forest of someone else's heart. We have the ability with our tongues to burn down the witness of a church. We have a golden opportunity, by God's grace, to let the things that come out of the springs of our heart be pure and fresh water. You cannot speak things into existence. Only God can. But with your tongue, you can bless God and you can bless men. You can bring about words of encouragement. You can bring about wholesome kinds of life, affirming things with your tongue. The entire ship of your body can be directed in a different direction. As you, by God's grace, take the rudder that is your tongue and steer it into a Christ-honoring way. What are we to do with this? We should consider the bold things that we say and repent of it. When we realize that we've used our tongues to say hurtful things, harmful things, impatient things, the list goes on. We should repent of sin. We should also consider what our tongue does when we speak about other people. Do we say things, or do we say almost everything and leave something out? Do we, in the words of Proverbs, use our tongues more often than we ought to? Sometimes the problem with our tongues is that they're always working. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity, a golden opportunity, to be a Barnabas to the church of Jesus Christ, to be evangelists for the word of Christ, to be salt and light with our tongues in a world where the fires are burning because the tongue has set the forest ablaze. James gives us the fire of the tongue, the two words of the tongue, and the opportunity of the tongue. Brothers and sisters, what if we, by God's grace, just this week pray, Lord, I pray that you would make it noticeable to me, even in this week, to my wife, to my children, to those that I'm in close relationship with, that my tongue is in the process of being sanctified. That my social media platforms are in the process of being sanctified. That the things that I say and the things that I hint at, the attention that I bring to other people, that all of it, Lord, would bring glory and honor to you. That you might bring gentle conviction to my soul, Lord, so that when my tongue is about to set ablaze a forest on fire, that you, O Lord, might give me the grace that I need, sinner that I may be, but a redeemed man, a redeemed woman, to speak words that are not burning with the filth of Gehenna. We have a golden opportunity. Think of this. If James says that no one can tame the tongue, if James says that such a little part of humanity is untamable, and yet he speaks to brothers and sisters about how these things ought not to be, by implication, we can walk away from this text tonight and see that the only people in the world who have the ability to grow in sanctification of their tongues is believers. We are the only ones who have the ability, because the Spirit lives within us and God has given us the ability to be a fresh spring out of which no longer comes filthy water. Think of this. By God's grace, of all the people in the world, you and me, we have the opportunity, the golden opportunity, to use our tongues for the glory of the risen Christ and the good of our fellow neighbor. To the extent that you have ever failed in what you speak, look to Him who never said anything wrong. To the extent that you see in your own tongue a failure, a fire that has been untamed, look to the One who never, ever, ever failed.
Amen.
And rest in Him as the One who will save you from this sin. And then look to Him that your tongue might increasingly be used as an instrument for the glory of Christ and the good of your brothers and sisters in the world. Let's pray. Almighty God, we ask tonight that you would so incline our hearts to hear, and we might think, as we rest on Christ, of how we speak, of the words that we say and type. Lord, the tongue is a fire. It is untamable. And yet you have seen fit to save us that are looking to Christ. And we rest in Him, and we thank you and we praise you that you have promised to sanctify us, including our tongues. So help us, O Lord, with the golden opportunity that we have to speak the words of life. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.